Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum, bum.
Do you like this song, Bob?
I like bum, bum, bum. Here we go.
I know. Bum, bum, bum. No, I mistimed it. It's the Pomp and Joe Show. That was a fun hour with Tyler Kennedy.
TK.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at South Hills Kia. Bob, what is happening with Russell Wilson? There's some very just odd, contradictory reports, quotes, things like that out there. I have come to understand why a guy like Mark Schlereth accused Russell of, quote, toxic positivity, which is a great line. Russell Wilson and his wife do great things off the field. This isn't about that. It's strictly a football thing. And how Russ just never seems to acknowledge that, oh my God, you know, things are bad. I don't think he's acknowledging that he might not be back here next year, or that he won't be back here next year. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he will. It's that meme where the guy is saying, you know, nothing to see here.
I think he's putting on his best effort to try to get a contract, and he's saying everything the way he always does is positive.
But
special
things aren't
plays,
always
special
positive,
and I know that.
But I don't have to believe him more than that.
But that's the role he's playing, and that's what he's trying to do.
I saw him on the field after one of those horrendous losses, talking to Cam Hayward after a game, like right after the game. Was it the Ravens game in Baltimore during the regular season, or the horrendous Chiefs game, where he's like, "All right, next week, got to get him next week." No, now's not the time. Let's acknowledge first that we sucked. Let's live in that. Let's bathe in that for a moment before we get back to platitude central around here. Life is not just a series of good feel platitudes. Sometimes the situation doesn't call for those. Sometimes nobody wants to hear those. And that seemingly is all we get from him. Now, as far as his future here, Jerry Dulac, there was some type of disconnect between Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson. Mark Cabali reporting the exact same thing. Then there's Common Sense. He's aging. He's not going to get better. There's a chance that Justin Fields will. Do we really think that Russell Wilson's going to be back here on like a $20-25 million deal over 3 years or 2 years? Bob, that's insane to me. But Mr. Platitude was on Pat McAfee the other, and maybe I'm completely wrong. God knows the Steelers have surprised me before. This was Mr. Platitude on the Pat McAfee show just the other day about his future here.
first of all, yes, we have been starting to talk a little bit. I think that it's an exciting time. I think obviously to be a Pittsburgh Steeler and the opportunity of.
Right there. Okay. This is an exciting time. Their season just imploded in a flurry of five horrific losses, capped by a game in which the announcer working the game accused the Steelers of quitting. They had 14 points. They had 29 rushing yards. Russ had like 8 yards passing after the first half. I'm exaggerating, yes. There's nothing exciting about what's going on with the Steelers right now. That's what I'm talking about. And then if you started to talk contract, well, yeah, a little tiny bit of maybe starting a contract.
I was surprised you threw that out.
What does that mean, Bob?
I don't know what it means.
Do you think they're actually talking turkey or that somebody called Russell and said,
he's trying to tell people that, hey, this is moving forward here. Don't forget about me. A lot of people already have. It's a great place to be. He's saying all the right things, and I think that's what he's doing. He's trying to facilitate himself to be in a position where he wants to come back, and he wants everyone to know that.
Thank you. And that's, I thought, Malzi said it well on his show yesterday, which was he's trying to manifest this.
Yes.
Because I don't think it's going to happen. This is not an exciting time. It's not exciting at all. Not for him or the Steelers. In fact, it's so unexciting for him that he might not even be in football next season because nobody might want him.
Well, he also knows he doesn't have many options either. You know, there are not many people who are going to bring in a 37-year-old quarterback and expect him to do the kinds of things maybe they want.
So it's not an exciting time. It's not the time for platitudes. It's as far from exciting as it could possibly be. The Steelers' quarterback situation is not exciting. It's not exciting at all. It's depressing. The way the Steelers' season ended is as far from exciting as one could be, and Russell Wilson's immediate future is not exciting at all. At all. He may never start an NFL game again at this rate. So let's go to the beginning of that, where, again, the platitudes start a-flying.
First of all, yes, we have been starting to talk a little bit. I think that it's an exciting time. I think obviously to be a Pittsburgh Steeler and the opportunity of what we can do. But, you know, Omar and Coach Tomlin, man, just I really love those guys and who they are and the team that they put together and the team that we can put together. But yeah, I'm really excited about the opportunity of being in Pittsburgh, hopefully longer. And just, you know, like I said, I'm always trusting God in the process.
Do you think it's going to happen if you had to bet, Bob?
No, I've thought since the end of the season it was going to be Justin Fields in a more controllable kind of situation financially so that they could figure out what they need to do next. I think Russell Wilson, the one thing he will not tell you is what his demands are, but I guarantee you they're at a certain amount of money.
Is he in position to make demands?
No. And that's why he's doing what he's doing, in my opinion. He's trying to make it seem like everything's great here. I love it. He's trying to placate Pittsburgh fans, the organization, and all this stuff and telling him, you know.
Here's how I think his relentless optimism or toxic positivity may play out in this apparent disconnect with Artie Smith is that Russ, I would imagine, thinks he's capable of doing anything. Like, let's do this, let's do that. And Arthur Smith could be like, no, that hasn't worked, Russ, and it's not going to work, and this is what we're going to do. That's how I imagine it could go, where that sort of, again, relentless, perhaps delusional optimism plays out in his relationship with the offensive coordinator. I just wonder about that, Bob. What do you think the disconnect is about? Cabali said it's the way Russ wants to play compared to what Artie wants him to do.
Or the way Mike Tomlin wants the offense to look. And he may not be directly talking to Mike Tomlin. He may be going through Arthur Smith to get his message. Hey, I'm better suited to do this or whatever. I'm sure it's about offensive philosophy. It has to be. What else could there be?
No, we can do this. This is great. This is exciting. Again, I can do this. We
sure
can do
can.
This. No, you can't. We had 6 yards passing after the first half the other day. You can't. Or maybe he's right. Maybe Russ is right. And maybe there were times they needed to open up even more, like the second game against the Bengals after he torched them in the first
totally
game.
I totally agree with that example.
Maybe he's right.
They went against what they did best the last time against that defense at home. And they kind of turtled into, we're just going to run the ball all over the place. Even if we don't get yards, we're going to continue to run it. They had 51 passing yards after three quarters against that secondary, which is just ridiculous.
412-928-9370 on the Russell Wilson disconnect. That is a great word. That is a great word. The disconnect between him and Arthur Smith, between him and reality at times. Like, exciting might be the very last word I would use to describe the Steelers situation or Russ's situation right now. It's very, very not exciting, Bob. Not exciting at all. It was exciting when Ben got here all those years ago. This is not exciting. So George Pickens is back in the news, Bob. Big surprise there, huh?
Well, again, the burner account you're speaking of? Is that where we're going to go?
No. This was Pickens himself on Instagram. No Michael Brewerly involved here.
Okay.
And it's based on what we talked about yesterday, the 33rdteam.com, simply suggesting a trade, like outlining the kind of trade that might be realistic involving mm-hmm. Pickens. And I thought it was very realistic. It wasn't, hey, we're going to go out and get 8 first-round picks for George Pickens, or we're going to get, you know, all this and all that. But it also wasn't the other way either. It was going to Washington, which you would think would love to have a talent like Pickens and maybe try to put up with him, for what, the 61st pick. They simply put that out there as a theoretical exercise. But George decided it was time to get on Instagram and say, via me, these pages are not in the building or any facility. Just stop lying for clicks and views, my brother. They're not lying. They didn't report anything, George. It's a theoretical exercise based on how you comported yourself for the entire season and for the past 3 years. That's why so many people think that the Steelers don't want you back. And already he's getting on Instagram picking fights with people, just like he picked fights with Steelers fans at a home game, just like he decided he was more interested in picking a fight with a Browns defensive back and then Browns fans than executing his duty on the final offensive play against the Browns, which was a high pass into the end zone that, for all we know, could have been caught or tipped by him.
And he's the tallest guy and their best option to do it. That's what he was required to do.
So I see this crap, and Art the Second and Omar and Mike Thomas, like, is this ever going to end? Who thinks this is going to get better? Every time Mike Tomlin has seen one of his problematic receivers start to go south, he cannot retrieve them. He can't. I mean, how much evidence do we need, Bob? Santonio Holmes started to go bad, traded him. Antonio, bad trade. Deontay, bad trade. Claypool, bad trade. Bryant, bad trade. You think this one's going to go bad then good?
You forgot Martavis. You forgot.
No, I didn't. I said Bryant.
Did you say Bryant? Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, right. I mean, these are the situations. And now they have to make, again, as I said yesterday, they have to make a choice here. Now is the time to make this choice. If they believe he is going to be here and they could add to that, whether that's through a draft or a free agent signing, fine. But they have to determine, because if you let him go without a contract this year, I do not see good things happening.
What, do you see good things happening if you sign him to a contract?
No.
Do you see good things happening if he shows up to training camp with no contract?
From the beginning, I've thought the best option is to move on from him and
so
try to get something that can help you moving forward. Now, people are going to say, your wide receiving room is so thin, how can you do it? Well, you do it through spending money in free agency and drafting.
Right.
And you have Roman Wilson coming back. You expect him to be good. Add to that and change directions. But you really have to be mindful of what may happen either way if he's around here. And that's his situation. He's created it. No one else has.
Well, the only quibble I would have there is, yes, it's his responsibility, but he's absolutely in an environment. See, the Steelers, in all their delusion, think that they have the coach and the culture here to rehab personalities like this, to allow them to flourish, when it's the exact opposite. They have the type of dynamic around here where guys like that get worse and feel enabled. It's like being in a family where nobody gives you any consequences. Art the Second thinks this is the place, the perfect place for a guy like that with our coach, our history, our locker room. No. It's the opposite. It's where a guy like that walks in there and gets worse.
If you allow him to get away with stuff,
they did, and they
that's
do.
The problem. But that's why I think they have to make a determination. We are where we are, which is trying to figure out what's best for them in the wide receiving category. And for me, I'm going to move on from him.
Yeah.
That's just the way I see it.
The best place to be is not catering to an enabled child who has a ton of talent but is headed down a bad slope. And history tells us there's nothing the Steelers or Mike Tomlin will do to stop that.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the thing that I watch most in this offseason, that and a quarterback. Always quarterback. But after that, what do they do with George Pickens?
Yeah. And just you want to talk about a disconnect. It's like, George, nobody's lying. People are wondering if you're going to get traded, and a website put out a theoretical trade of what it would look like. Do you understand that's not a report? There's no lying involved because there was no statement. There was nobody put forth that the Steelers are actually going to do this, and here's what's happening. There's nothing that they lied about. It was simply a theoretical exercise, Bob.
Right. Now, that's all part of the offseason. That's part of the situation that exists. A lot of it has to do with what you said with the culture, but also a lot of it has to do with George not being able to mature.
Has there ever
been
a worse time to be a Pittsburgh sports fan? I just got a note from a
friend. Well, I go back to the 1980s. You would do too, Joe, if you think about the 1980s, especially mid part of the 1980s. You know, they had just, luckily for them, drafted Mario Lemieux, but the first few years were not good just because they were trying to figure out how to build around him.
Yeah.
Then you had the Pirates and all the drug trials and the way things have just...
Sure.
And then the Steelers were in the middle of... Yeah, they had an AFC Championship game in 84, I think it was. Is that the one in Denver? And then after that, they're going through a change also.
I hear that, but at least you had Mario, and at least you had the afterglow of one of the greatest dynasties in the history of sports. Here, I've been here since November of 1989 is when I arrived at 5823 Holden Street, Bob. And I have never seen this town in a combination of sports depression and sports rage that they are right now. I wrote about it this morning from the Pirates' perspective with fans, how they're being gaslit by people like Travis Williams getting out there and saying, we're committed to winning. Really? Where's the action behind that? Bob really wants to win. Even Andrew McCutchen, be careful what you wish for. What? Why is he speaking up on things like that? Be careful what you wish for. They wish for a first playoff series win for the Pirates since 1979. Their first playoff appearance in a decade. Their fifth winning season in 33 years. I don't think they're wishing for much. And the statement, be careful of what you wish for, in terms of the owner, is implying that it could be worse. This offseason is an example of how it couldn't be. But my larger point, here's a text from a buddy of mine, and I wonder if people resonate with this. Really depressing to be a sports fan in general in this town right now. He says, in the last 16 games played, the Steelers, Pitt football, and Pitt basketball are 0-16. 0-16. Sprinkle in the Pirates and Pens, and this is about as low as it gets. Paul Skeen's about the only highlight in this town right now. Bob, I don't know how you would describe sort of a unifying theme between all that, but for me, it would be stagnation.
Stale. That's the word I use.
Stale.
Just a stale moment in time.
And people disbelieving that these teams can just keep doing what they're doing. Like, really? Like we listened to Jim Rooney out of the Rooney family say, the Steelers have overperformed the mean of the last 24 years. And it's going to be more of the same with Mike Tomlin, and more of the same with the Penguins, and more of the same with the Pirates, and more of the same with Narduzzi. It's just, I think people are just like, is this really happening? Why do they want to, you know what it is? Remember the movie, was it Network, where the guy opens up the window and says, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
That's like, what people were doing.
Is anybody seeing what we're seeing type of thing? What is happening? That's what I think it is, Bob.
Well, sports is a cyclical business, and I think, you know, with regard to the Penguins, I think I had a feeling down the road this may come to exactly where we are. They traded a lot of picks to try to win. They won, but you knew there was a, you know, a down payment that you had to make later. The credit card is now due. You got to pay that, and that's where they are, and they're trying to figure out how to change that. Well, this trade deadline and the offseason will tell you how they're going to do it if they are trying. And the Steelers are, you know, in this spot, which people appreciate, I suppose, that you can actually be in contention till the end of the year. But for them, their standards, and they say it should be higher than that. If you're trying to justify that being just above average is okay, well, that's not going to be good enough for what people expect around here. And that's not what you've said over the years. So, you know, you got to try to do things to shake things up. And that's what I would expect in this offseason. I think it's, you know, this front office has got to make some moves. They got to show you where they're headed. And if they don't make any changes, why would you expect anything different?
Here's the crazy thing that I was thinking about last night, trying to unify between all of our teams. I think not only have the Steelers gone stale with this model of stability just for stability's sake, not getting them anywhere, I think that their model is influencing other teams. That's what I think. I think the Penguins look at them and say, we want to be them. We don't want to be willy-nilly firing coaches and all that stuff. We want to be them. I think the Pirates say we want to be them. I think Pitt Football says we want to be them. It's crazy. Something that isn't working is being used and held high as the example.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
The example we all want to live down to or up to.
I don't think I'd want to go that far in saying that these teams are trying to emulate that, because if you do, then you're just going to be stagnant.
They're trying to emulate the model of alleged stability. I'm convinced the Penguins are. They want to be the Steelers of the NFL or the NHL.
But again, if you're going to do that and be stable in a game like hockey, it's different. There's not as much revenue coming in compared to some of these other sports. You need to sell the public on what you're trying to do, and the public will tell you, with not showing up and not paying for tickets, that they're not interested. So at some point, that's got to hit home with them. They need people in their building, unlike other sports.
At some point, when?
I don't know.
Mike Sullivan signed forever. You think he's going anywhere?
They could, if they choose, they can do a lot of things. Yeah,
of course,
They have money.
Where?
Fenway Sports Group has a ton of money. If they want to make changes, they could make changes. If they're not doing it, you know, then they're just playing the game you suggest they're playing. I don't know that I would look at it that way.
Is all this stability getting our sports teams? Where is all this stability getting us? Derek Shelton has one of the worst records of any non-expansion manager through 5 years of any manager or coach in the history of American sports.
Situation,
and he's back for a sixth
but
year?
His situation is influenced, I think, even more so than these other teams with what they have to work with and their willingness to spend to change it. They're not willing to
Bob,
do it.
Bobby's back for a sixth year.
I understand that. Do you blame him for all of that goes wrong?
Of course I don't blame
him. So then why stop there? Get rid of everyone, if that's the case. Bob Nutting won't do it.
Where do you sign me up for that? Where do you sign me up?
He's interested in making money over winning.
Pat Narduzzi.
Sure you want to win. You could say you want to win, and I believe
him. No, I know that.
But he's not
following
up.
Where is all the stability getting you?
Well, again,
that's just an example of settling for stability.
I agree,
stability.
But I'm telling you, if that's your, then Ben Cherington doesn't own any of this. Of course,
no,
he does.
Bob, I'm not. You're missing the point.
I'm not.
Nutting is the main reason that the Pirates stink every year. But this coaching stability, the model of stability,
because it costs you this. It doesn't. You don't have to go out of your way to change anything.
Bingo.
Right. But my point is, if you're going to just blame the manager for that.
I'm not just blaming the manager.
5 years is 5 years. It's time to change that
possibility.
And more than that,
blame the general manager or the owner. It's the model of stability.
But if you buy into, hey, it's a good job, we'll take it. I get paid pretty handsomely to do it.
Yeah, I'm not blaming Derek Shelton for not resigning. Let's move to Pat Narduzzi.
They're afraid of the buyout there.
Well, they're also afraid of their recent history.
The history
before Narduzzi, where they had 17 coaches in 10 minutes. I'm not justifying it. I'm saying it's the same rationale or similar to the Steelers still acting upon their history from 33 to 72 and being afraid to get bad again, even for a little while. Pat Narduzzi, sandwiched around the Pickett run, the Heisman run, has an under 500 record in the, I think it's three seasons before and four after. The seven seasons sandwiching Pickens Heisman run, he has an under 500 record against major college competition.
Which
then
is
there's
why
Mike
he
Sullivan.
Never have been
then there's
an
Mike
extension.
Tomlin. Where is all the stability getting us?
I don't know, Joe. I'm just telling you that there are reasons they do these things. I disagree with all of them. I think when you sign yourself to a long term in college, you don't need to do it anymore. You know, that's one thing. Narduzzi got that long extension. I just scratched my head when I saw it. Number one, because you can't – the whole genesis of these long-term contracts in college football was to say, we're not going to lose our coach, so you as recruits come here, and you know he's going to be your coach. Well, that has gone out
we're
the window.
We're going to be a coach-centric
that
organization.
That has gone out the window because these
like
guys come and go and come and go. Yeah. And so you don't need a coach. You go 1 year at a time. That's what should be your coach. Why would you give a guy 8 years? I would never do that. And if you don't want the job, don't take the job. If you're afraid that you may fail after 2 years, then don't take the job. Show me you're worth more than that. And in college, it's gone way off.
I don't know. In what other city is this happening in America? We have.
Well, there are a lot of cities that have stale teams.
Well, hold on a second here. You find me another city in America that has a football coach that hasn't even competed, come close to competing in a playoff game in terms of the game on the field in 8 years. So haven't won a playoff game, haven't been competitive in a playoff game in 8 years. Your hockey coach hasn't won a playoff series in what, 5 years, something like that?
And going on six, right? I mean, when was their last series?
I don't remember. That's the whole point.
2018.
They keep going worse and worse every year.
So that's the same. You're treading on the Steeler territory there, right?
Yeah, 2 year difference.
So exactly. That's your football coach. That's your hockey coach. A baseball manager who, again, hasn't sniffed a winning season and has one of the worst records of all time through 5 years. And a college football coach whose program appears to be going downhill. And again, had one great year, and the 7 years around that is under 500 against major college competition. Find me another city in America that has more sports coaches at the same time enjoying this kind of tenure and underachieving to this level. You won't.
No, you're probably right about that. If you put it all together that way, I get what you're saying. But what I'm saying is that you're in a situation where people, if you're content with it, then you're going to keep it, and you're right. That has to change. If you're going to change the way things go, you've got to send messages out there in your player personnel, people you bring in, free agency, and coaching staff that you're going to make changes. And again, getting back to the Steelers, these like 13 days, there haven't been any changes. And if you don't make changes to your coaching staff, they're being gobbled up by other people right now. And you got to do something if you're going to send a different message.
Citizen Kane, what's your thought on the matter?
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious that, you know, right now, again, Bob was talking about the 80s, obviously wasn't alive for that. I broke it down a little bit in terms of the 7-8 year span that we've been in since 2016 for the Steelers, 2018 for the Pens, and 2015 for the Pirates. The
Pirates, you can go back.
And, I mean, just think about those years from the 80s, from 84 on in 86 or whatever. They had Bonds. There was Lemieux. Right now, I have no hope for the Penguins moving forward because they're aging out of a dynasty with no hope on the horizon. I have the same sentiments that Joe has with they're not changing anything with the coaching staff managerially, and they haven't added anything to the bullpen in the lineup. Spencer Horwitz beat whatever. Other than that, and the Steelers, there's no light at the end of the tunnel until you get a quarterback. So this is the darkest time since the 80s. I think it trumps it because I have no hope for the Penguins right now. I'm worried that the Pirates are going to waste Paul Skeens if they don't add considerable bats. And the Steelers, like, I'm saying that the best course of action for them is to be terrible for a year to have a good draft pick in 26
to
draft your quarterback in front of the home fans.
They don't want that.
I know, but they should. Well, you know, they need a year
to
reset.
It's one thing to want that. How do you achieve that?
I think Justin Fields, you bring him back, and he's either a boom or bust candidate. Either he's very
Justin
good.
Justin Fields can get you to 9-8.
I think they can win a playoff game with Fields.
So they're not going to get to what you think they are and draft a quarterback that year in the top 10.
And what I said, he's a boom or bust candidate. I think it's going to be very good, or it can be atrocious.
And they're going to bottom out this year.
They went 8-8 with Duck Hodges. They can do that. They can beat Mike Tomlin, and Steelers stability rules over bad teams. They do. You go, the Duck year is a wonderful example of that. They went
that's
eight,
the best
they went
example
eight and eight
of that.
And he was hailed. He was hailed.
They got to 8-8, and people were thinking, wow. Or no, they were 8-5, and then they lost three.
Right.
But to get to eight wins, that's – I remember how everyone nationally was looking at, how does this happen?
Yeah, you know what they didn't look at nationally? That they didn't beat a single team that year that went to the playoffs. He was hailed as a national hero, and the Steelers, oh, my God, look at them. With Duck Hodges, they go 8-8. So what? So what? I arrived here in November of 89 to the City of Champions. The City of Champions. And now it's become the City of Stability. That's what it is. The City of Stability. We may not win, but man, we keep our coaches around just like the Steelers. We're better than the mean. Penguins are better than the mean by far over these past many years. Pirates aren't. Pitt football is probably better than the mean, I would imagine.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Yeah, I think if you looked at every program in America, they're above the mean over the last, in Narduzzi's tenure. The City of Champions has become the City of Stability. And when I see people out and about, I get looks of how is this happening? How are we satisfied with this? Why isn't there any change? My God, what's the combined tenure of Narduzzi, Shelton, Tomlin, and Sullivan? I'm not blaming everything on the coaches, Bob. It starts with ownership. But man, ownership makes decisions with coaches. What's the combined tenure of those guys? 18 for Tomlin. How many for Sully?
He came in 2016. So is that before they won?
Eight or nine. So we're up to 26. What's Narduzzi?
Shelton's what, six?
Shelton's going on six.
Okay, that'll take
and Narduzzi's
32.
32. So 40 years. 40 years of stability. The City of Stability. 412-928-9370. Man, if you can't cry, I guess you have to laugh. 928-9370. Your thoughts on this? If you're listening to this show, you're one of these people. I dreamed of coming here to the City of Champions. Literally did. Followed the Pirates religiously. Had photos of the 70s Pirates, 79 Pirates in particular, up on my bedroom wall, Bob. And I would hand out my own stars in magic marker after games. So by the end of the year, it was like the Ohio State Buckeyes with the little things on their helmet to commemorate what they did good. That's what Stargell did with the Pirates. I dreamed of coming to Pittsburgh. What a town for sports. And it was, through most of my tenure here, just that. I've seen and covered how many championships since I've gotten here.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And now this? For this long of a time now? And nobody's doing anything about it? In fact, they seem to be doubling, tripling, quadrupling, and whatever the word is after that, on average, mediocre performance. It's sort of unreal to be immersed in this, especially with the job I have.
Well, yeah, because you get into this job, as you say, to cover big-time events, and there were plenty of them. Now it's gone stale all the way across the board. So it's up to these teams to make the changes necessary. To get a quarterback, if you're not going to fall to the level that you have to, then you have to make aggressive moves. They did it once when they traded up for Minkah Fitzpatrick. They didn't have to do that. Maybe they shouldn't have done that because there were other options maybe in the draft available if they had not done that. But you can still move into a position if you want to be very aggressive and get a quarterback this year if you want.
That's true.
New England's a team that could be very ripe for that.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that next. Give us your idea next, because I like that. I like where you're headed with that. And I'm going to go back to Bob right at the top of the next segment here. But you're the people listening to this show, and lots of you are listening. We know that for a fact. We can measure these things. You're the people who pay your hard-earned money to get into the stadiums and arenas. What's it like right now to be a Pittsburgh sports fan? Because from this vantage point, it's become the city of stability for stability's sake. I got an interesting tweet here. We're talking about what it's like to be a Pittsburgh sports fan these days, and how you would think with the way things are going that there would be massive change in all of our organizations, franchises, Pitt football, things like that. Instead, they all appear to be doubling and tripling down on stability. It's gone from the city of champions to the city of stability for stability's sake. It's not getting us anywhere. Someone named Josh tweets myself and Limits and says, it's not the city of stability anymore. It's the city of complacency. That's very good. I think you said that, Bob.
Yeah, interesting word there. But yeah, it sums it up, kind of.
It's complacency disguised as stability. You were going to say something, though, at the end of the last
segment. No, I was going to say there are ways, you know, if you want to be aggressive, and if they realize the quarterback situation is, as Ben Johnson says yesterday in his press conference, I found it interesting that he says the number one thing when you do analytics of any sort, you realize quarterbacks in this day and age of football mean more than turnovers and create turnovers. You know, that,
yes,
that's, and it struck a chord there, knowing that, you know, obviously you don't want to make turnovers and you want to force them, but there's no guarantee you can do that in game. So what is more important than a quarterback? Not much in the NFL. So to my point here, there are a lot of teams in the top three. Titans draft one, Browns draft two, Giants three, and New England four. These teams, some of them do have quarterbacks, some don't. Patriots are the one I'm circling. They don't. I mean, they should have Drake May as their quarterback. They drafted him. They seem to like him. They need other things if they're going to be better. If you're going to make a trade, you can be aggressive and move up to that spot. I know it's going to cost a lot, but you may have to do that at some point. If not now, you know, maybe next year.
Where are they picking?
Four.
Yeah. Yes.
Jaguars are five. They're not going to go against their quarterback. They need help also. These are teams that you can actually move up. You're going to have to trade a lot to get it, but be in a position to draft one of those kind of quarterbacks if you so desire.
Man, I agree. And I've been saying this for years, that you figure that out and you worry about everything else later. And the fact of the matter is, a great quarterback can take a mediocre roster to really nice places. CJ Stroud, that Texans team last year, that was not a good roster. He lifted a team all by himself. And by the way, by the end of this year, they were pretty damn good too. You just saw him in the playoffs stand toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, even though he's got no offensive line, which is a problem. Joe Burrow took a team with no offensive line. They had some pretty good weapons and a good D at that point, but he took them all the way to the Super Bowl. He's right. I mean, it's just so obvious with quarterbacks that's what they have to do. And then you get that guy, the rest you can figure out. You figure it out on the run. But if you don't have him, then the rest is just rearranging
right.
deck
and
chairs.
If their analysis really comes to the conclusion they don't have the guy they think is necessary to have for their future, then they have to make moves like this. The other alternative is to just sink to this level where you're going to go 4 or 5 overall in the draft. They seem to be against that sort of thing. So what do? Wait? If you keep waiting, you're going to end up chasing for the rest of the several years.
It's a good thing that they dropped to 6-10 that year to get Ben, or we may be on, you know, 20 years of the same thing if they don't get Ben.
Right. And I understand there's no guarantee you may pick the wrong quarterback. Some teams have done that.
Yeah, but
Chicago,
you want to give yourself the opportunity.
First
to
overall,
the right
and they went from Trubisky to Fields to Caleb Williams. I mean, they keep bringing in. You got to be right with it if you're going to get up there. But you have to be there. That's where it all starts. You can't be at 21. What are they going to really get at 21? Is there a quarterback worth taking at 21? I don't think so.
Not this year, but some years.
Some
yeah.
years, but not this year.
I don't know. I don't know with this year's quarterback the Dart kid, Jackson Dart, he's fine,
but he's going to be a mid-round pick.
Yeah, he's a third-round.
Mid-round?
Second, yeah, late second, third.
Probably third, maybe second.
Well, let's hit the lines. Let's hear from people.
All right, let's go to Brian, who is in Pittsburgh.
What's up, Brian?
Hey, thanks, guys. City of Champions, we are not anymore. Complacency, mediocrity, and, you know, my belief is it starts at the top. It starts with ownership, right? And you could look at the Pirates and Bob Nutting. It's well documented, the issues there. We can look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, right, with the recent transfer of ownership to the Fenway Sports Group.
Who do you associate with Penguins ownership? Who's the guy?
I honestly, no one, right? I've always associated growing up Mario Lemieux and Ron Burkle, right? There's no face there anymore.
Right.
No.
That's my
John
point,
John Henry
Bob.
Is the face, but no one knows the face.
That's my point. It's a, yeah. it's a, it's
they
a,
run it as a business.
It's a corporate. They've gone from a family business to a corporate right. business.
It's
but
just
go
an
ahead.
Asset for them.
It's just an asset. Go ahead.
Right. So pivoting, you know, away from the Pirates and the Penguins over to the Steelers situation, right? You know, again, objectively, we can say, yeah, Mike Tomlin probably isn't doing the greatest of jobs. But again, it goes back to the top. And I look at, you know, recently, I think last week, the NFL Players Association, they released their annual report, and the Steelers ownership came in with a grade F. They were ranked 31st out of 32 teams. So my question for you guys is, what exactly is going on with, you know, from the players' perspective that they're rating ownership, you know, so poorly, right? I mean, I think you guys are pretty objective. You ask a lot of hard-hitting questions, but it seems like there needs to be sort of an expose, a focus on what's going on down there. You know, is it that, you know, some folks that are covering the team, are they afraid of getting the, you know, God rest his soul, John Clayton shoulder pad, you know, treatment, right? That they're afraid to ask the hard questions. But I think, you know, if we want to get to the root of, hey, why is Tomlin still around? Why are we accepting all this? It starts
we did.
With ownership.
We did get to the root of that. Jim Rooney, who is Art II's brother, I think gave us a very clear window, agree or disagree with him, into the philosophy. And I compared it yesterday to following your investments, to following a mutual fund. Their theory is if we're above the mean over long stretches of time, making a little bit of money on our investment, not literally probably, but I'm still using the mutual fund metaphor, then that's good enough. And he said, basically, in so many words, Jim Rooney, who I have to think was giving us a window into his brother's thoughts and philosophy, told us you should appreciate and be satisfied with the fact that over the long term, the Steelers are outperforming the mean. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't feel that great about it, guys, right? Because, you know, I would argue that, you know, maybe you're a season, two seasons away from not being a 500 team. The winning record goes away, right? T.J. Watt moves on, right? Cam Hayward retires, right? And things turn, you know, can go south pretty quickly there. So if you don't have a good ownership group to, you know, lean back on, right, how do you start to build up, you know, a nice, robust, you know, franchise again, right? You know, Tomlin moves on, right? You're left with very little to nothing, right?
Well, I think that's where they need to get to, Bob, is to be left with little to nothing and rebuild. That's how the 70 Steelers were built.
It's how every team was built. It's how the Pittsburgh Penguins won twice because they were so bad they got Lemieux, and then they were so bad and then they got Crosby and a whole bunch of other number one picks that followed. That is one way to do it, but you know they're not in the business of trying to lose on purpose to do that, or at least designed to, and that may be, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I think they're in a position now where I can actually see them falling off a little bit here in the next couple of years. They may not like that, because they don't want to be that team, but maybe it is the best case scenario for them, which is why I don't think they should invest a lot of money in Russell Wilson. So I think you can probably get to a point where you're going to be, instead of 10-7, 7-10. And if you're 7-10, all of a sudden you're drafting 9th or 10th. So you could put yourself in that position even without trying to sabotage your own, you know, situation. So but I would be aggressive. I'm sorry. I wouldn't wait around anymore. I would just say, look, we got to make changes.